心无你，初心灭动，常以若离，你的眼光，三界是。So a Chittamatri, or proponent of mind only, is essentially someone who propounds that everything. It is in the nature of mind. So a proponent of mind only is essentially someone who propounds or who believes that everything is in the nature of mind. Yeah. Having said that, you know, if you look at how things appear to our minds, you know, when we look at them, you know, things appear to exist as a separate or different nature or entity from the mind, isn't it? Right? There's something outside. So basically what appears to us are external objects, yeah. Isn't it?
Oh, that bucket that in the night here, that should turn to Jubaji, you wish in an hour, she marries. That's something that in the now the Kadish in the Yamatin, it in the Nangit was her. That was a Tangmalat in the Nangdesh. The union now is in a marriage. That should turn to Jubaji, you have a king in our business marriage. Deny the Kadishna, so Kasorata. That on that so tire at the Marik Benam talking to. Maripala, Shindu Koma, Shishi, Ongi, Ani Pasha Tokosha, Pasha Ti, Toki, that in this name, as you soon hear it.
So, according to mind only, external objects do not exist in reality, although there is an appearance of external objects to us. So although they don't exist, external objects do not exist. Objects that are of a different entity in nature from mind, although such external objects do not exist, nevertheless they appear. Why do they appear? Because of the mind being completely habituated to ignorance, and due to the force of the ignorance and then the latencies of this ignorance are placed on the mind. So because of these latencies of ignorance, then there's a projection of external objects. Yeah. So all external objects appear, basically, because of the latencies of ignorance. So, according to the proponents of sutra, you know, in the case of an I consciousness apprehending form, to that I consciousness apprehending form, there is an appearance of an external form, and that appearance of external form is valid, is correct. Because just as there's an appearance of external form to the eye consciousness apprehending it, in reality, that's how form exists. Form, there is external form. Yeah. Okay. So according to proponents of sutra, so that appearance of external form is valid, is correct. However, according to mind only, an appearance of an external form it's not the representation of how form actually exists. Yeah, okay. External form does not exist, although it appears. But why is there an appearance of an external form? This is according to mind only. Yeah? The appearance of an external form is due to the latencies, the imprint of ignorance. You know? in the mind due to a thorough familiarity, you know, of the mind, you know, due to the thorough involvement of the mind with ignorance, you know, for very, very, very long time.
Yeah. Okay.
So in according to back to the proponents of sutra, so back to the example of an eye consciousness apprehending form. So an eye consciousness apprehending form induces a conceptual thought, thinking, oh, this is form. It labels this as that, right? Isn't it? So, and according to the proponents of sutra, there is an external form, and this external form exists as a natural base of engagement, or the natural base, or the natural reference of name. Yeah. So, it exists as a natural basis of reference of the term form from the side of the object. So, now we're talking about proponent of sutra. Yeah? So there is an eye consciousness apprehending form that induces a conceptual thought thinking, oh, this is form, isn't it? Or labels, oh, this is form, not something else, isn't it? So to this conceptual consciousness, which thinks this is form, there is an appearance of the external form, isn't it? There is that form, isn't it? That form exists, that form appears as a natural basis, as a natural reference of the term form. Not only, but according to proponents of sutra, not only is there an appearance of then a form which exists as a natural reference for the term form. In fact, this is how form exists. It exists like that from its own side as a natural reference or natural basis of engagement of the term form, or the natural reference for the term form. In mind only, they refute this. Although form appears from its own side as a natural base of engagement of the term form, or it appears as a natural reference for the term form, although there's such an appearance, in reality, that it's not, that's wrong, that's incorrect, that's not valid. So according to mind only, form does not exist as the natural reference, or does not exist naturally as the reference of the term form. It's from his own side. Form does not exist from his own side as the natural base of the engagement for the term form. Rather, form existing as the natural, as the reference for the term form, this is merely imputed.
Okay, that's all.
Shinshiro,
We will attempt to clarify this in the near future, perhaps in the next class. So the proponents of sutra assert external objects, yeah, isn't it? And that there are objects that are not in the nature of mind. Yeah. Proponents of mind only do not proponents of mind only differ greatly in that they assert that everything is in the nature of mind. Phenomena, how do phenomena exist? Phenomena arise due to the awakening of karmic propensities or seeds of karma that are infused in the mind. Now we go back to the proponents of great exposition. Yeah. So according to proponents of great exposition, they say that a sense consciousness, for example, engages its object nakedly without something intervening between the object and the consciousness perceiving it. That's what we call an aspect. Yeah. So basically, in short, the proponents of great exposition do not assert that the consciousnesses are generated in the aspect of their objects. So according to proponents of great exposition, the sense consciousness, for example, apprehends its object nakedly without an intervening aspect. No? So consciousness is not generated in the aspect of the object. So object and subject, the object and the subject perceiving it, these two exist simultaneously. But these two are different substances. Yeah. So the proponents of great exposition do assert that assert simultaneous cause and effect. Yeah. The proponents of sutra and so forth, with the exception of the great exposition, the proponents of sutra and proponents of mind only and proponents of middle way, basically, yeah, everyone except the proponents of great exposition, everyone except asserts that the consciousnesses are generated in the aspect of the objects they apprehend.
Oh,
So in short, with the exception of the Great Exposition School, all the other Buddhist tenets assert that consciousnesses are aspected. Yeah, we talked about this. Yeah, in the previous module, yeah. Consciousnesses are aspected. Yeah. So, for example, an eye consciousness apprehending blue, an eye consciousness apprehending blue is generated in the aspect of blue. Okay. So, and in the proponents of in the sutra school, this aspect is cast from the side of the object. This aspect is cast from the side of the object. In the case of blue, you know, this aspect of blue is cast from the side of the object, blue, and then the consciousness apprehending blue is generated into the aspect of blue. Yeah. So this is according to Sutra School.
Yeah.
So the eye consciousness apprehending blue is generated independence on the on blue, yeah. So blue has to exist prior to the production of the eye consciousness apprehending blue. Independence on blue, then you know from the side of blue and an aspect of blue is cast. Then the eye consciousness apprehending blue is generated. So in this case, you can see that the object exists, must exist prior to the subject apprehending it. Hello? Hello?
Oh, that, don't die me. Munzi Michelle, that one bone number, the sour Nayagone, that one bone now, send it to you. That's another. That one was sour Nang said, it's all Munzi Michelle, one bone tinny.
So it is said that blue appears clearly to the eye consciousness apprehending it. And the reason why we say that blue appears clearly to the eye consciousness apprehending it is because the aspect of blue is appearing clearly to the eye consciousness apprehending it. Yeah. So I wonder in the Sutra School whether the eye consciousness apprehending blue and the aspect of blue, whether these two are one substance or not.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure, I'm not 100% sure. But but it is clear that blue and eye consciousness apprehending blue are different substances. Yeah. And they exist, and they don't exist simultaneously. Yeah. Blue exists prior to the eye consciousness apprehending it. Yeah. So you follow, yeah? So roughly, you know, you have an idea of how the consciousness are not as aspected in the Great Exposition School. Then in the Sutra School, consciousness are aspected, yeah? And the aspect of the object as is apprehended is cast from the side of the object, yeah? Now, in mind-only school, mind-only school, of course, asserts that consciousnesses are aspected, yeah? So in the case of an eye consciousness apprehending blue, this eye consciousness apprehending blue is generated in the aspect of blue. But unlike the Sutra school, the mind-only school do not assert that this aspect is cast from the side of the object.
딱 간대시 총알했어. 딱 원본 남바대 간대시 총알했으나 저 박자가 온거 샤워시랬어. 딱 걸었으나 근데 원본 남바 샤워디 저 중하디 남바 딘데 중하디 딱 박자가 온거 남바디 총알했어.
So in the case of an eye consciousness apprehending blue, it is generated into the aspect of blue, isn't it? So, but this aspect of blue is not cast from the side of the object blue, but rather the aspect of blue is generated in dependence on the awakening of a karmic seed or karmic propensity. So if you think about this, yeah, and you put everything together, you know, in relation to what mind only means, yeah, and in relation to what mind only means and what we've just discussed, you know, about the aspect of blue not coming from the side of object, but it is due to the awakening of a karmic propensity, yeah. So basically, is that which appears blue, is that basically that is the aspect of blue is blue, yeah. Whether we can say that or not, in mind only, aspect of blue is blue. Is the aspect of blue and blue different in mind only? That's the question, basically. With the exception of the Great Exposition School, all the other Buddhist tenets assert that consciousnesses are aspected, yeah. Well, of course, I mean, if you forgot about the discussion from the previous module, then you're going to have a headache now, you know. All consciousnesses are aspected, yeah. But according to the Sutra school, in eye consciousness, for example, eye consciousness apprehending blue is generated in the aspect of blue. This aspect of blue, according to the Sutra school, who asserts external objects, right, are cast from the side of the object blue. But in the mind-only school, although the eye consciousness apprehending blue is generated in the aspect of blue, this aspect of blue is not cast from the side of the object blue, but rather this aspect of blue is generated in dependence upon the awakening or the ripening of a karmic propensity. Isn't everything is in the nature of mind, you
know? Ah.
So this is what having said all this, so is the mind only school saying that basically that the aspect of blue is blue? So something to think about, you know.
What in the shop? What is it? The Kazan Samtere Kazan Karsina, da Nam Demba, Nam Zumbas, and Sam Zamar, and Yishash, Tandani, da Nam Demba in a Nam Zumba in a red, da Soso Jojo, Unshe to Tokanga, da Kanga, the children of Nangi Yores, Ravatan Zimisha, the children of Naman Jose, da Unshe, da
So, if you remember, the mind only proponents of mind only can be divided into mind only true expectations and mind only false expectations. Yeah. Whether the person is a true expectation or false expectation, both agree that the sense consciousnesses in the continuum of ordinary beings, possess the appearance of external objects.
어떠신다? 어떠신다? 돈다 뒤니기 잡아치는 동안 조카르스나 남댐베 따빼나 먼저 모습나 아니 원보 원보 싫었지만 남그레베스나 남그레스에시 남댐바 댄주니게 원보 싫었지만 남그레스에시 다 콤보 집어채 다 이나 잡아대 그래서는 남댐베 원보 원보로 나 차라 마투아레스 남댐베 남준베 원보 원보나 차라양 투아레스 원보로 투아마스 원보 원보나 차라 투아레스 다
Okay, so whether it's a true expectation or false expectation, in the case of an eye consciousness apprehending blue, which is a direct sense direct perceiver, isn't it? So in the continuum of an ordinary being, so an eye consciousness apprehending blue, to the eye consciousness apprehending blue, there is an appearance of external blue. Okay, both accept the true expectations and false expectations. The true expectations now we're talking about true expectations, yeah. So to the eye consciousness apprehending blue, there is the appearance of blue as a blue, yeah. Okay. That is non-mistaken. The factor of appearance of blue, appearance of blue as blue, that is not mistaken.
원본 나왔다 투발했어.
Yeah, so for the true expectations, the factor of appearance of blue as blue is not mistaken because blue exists in the way it exists.
What
exists in the way it appears.
어떻습니까?
Yeah. You have to check what I say because sometimes the CPU is a bit too fast then.
Nam jumba sedi ta ngombo na chala ya tuares ngonzi mi she de ngombo la tuamas ngombo na chala tuares nam jumbe sa tuksimi.
Okay.
Ngombo na ta tu ya mas. Tati jazan nam jumba sedi ta tu.
So the mind only true expectations assert that to the sense direct perceiver apprehending blue, the appearance of blue as blue to this consciousness is not mistaken, yeah, because blue exists in the way it appears. But however, for the mind only false expectation to the eye consciousness apprehending blue, the appearance of blue as blue is mistaken. Which means blue does not exist in the way it appears. Yeah, okay, so for the false expectations, blue does not exist in the way it appears.
Okay,
So for the, I think we talked about it in the previous lesson, for the false expectations, you know, basically to them, the appearance of blue as blue and the appearance of blue as a gross object, all these are mistaken, right? But what exactly do we mean when we say gross object? Yeah. Oh, this is it's not so clear. So there's one explanation which says, you know, imagine you see two or three different colors, you know, there's white, yellow, blue, whatever, you know, and also they appear vividly. There's this appearance of a very vivid, you know, white, vivid, blue, yellow, you know. So there's appearance of when we talk about gross object, you know. Okay, we're talking mind only, yeah. What exactly is the appearance of blue is a gross object, you know? Let's say the blue appears vividly to the eye consciousness apprehending it. It's a vivid appearance of blue, yeah. But so this constitutes, you know, what blue is as a gross object, you know? So this manner of appearing is not something different or separate from the appearance of blue as blue, yeah. I mean, this is difficult to understand, isn't it? I mean, we say there's appearance of blue as blue and the appearance of blue as a gross object, but then if we say that, oh no, the appearance of blue as a gross object, you know, his manner of appearing is none other than the appearance of blue as blue, then it's going to be, you know. So we just, you know, just forget about that. Let's think about the appearance of blue as blue, you
know.
So let's just stick to the appearance of blue as blue, yeah. So according to the mind only true expectations, the appearance of blue as blue to the sense direct perceiver apprehending blue, oh, that is unmistaken. But to the mind only false expectations, the appearance of blue as blue to the sense direct perceiver apprehending blue, oh, that appearance is mistaken. So this is the difference, yeah. Okay. Okay, so according to the mind only true expectations, the eye consciousness apprehending blue is not mistaken with regards to the factor of appearance of blue as blue. Whereas the mind, according to the mind only false expectations, according to them, to the eye consciousness apprehending blue, the factor of appearance of blue as blue is mistaken. Or the appearance as stars, you know? Then you see stars. You know?
Chazanta 담바 말했어. 몽고부로 나이 차라요. 투어했어. 그래서 몽고부 나이도 가나. 몽고부로 치료 좀 나게 하랬어.
So to the mind only false expectations, yeah. The eye consciousness appearing blue is mistaken with regards to the factor of blue appearing as blue. Why? Because this factor of appearance of blue as blue is appearing as an external blue. So you understand this, then you can see why, according to the mind only false expectations, the appearance of blue as blue is considered to be mistaken. Yeah. Yeah, because for the false expectations, you know, when there's an appearance of blue as blue, when the appearance of blue as blue appears, it appears as external blue. Yeah.
남댐베 다 지당 뭐 나인도 가라 치료 준도 받는 게 열렸어. 다 뭐 뭐를 나인도 가라 뭐 뭐를 치료 준 받는 게 열렸어. 제자 다 아니 아 대발했지.
For the mind only for true expectations, according to the mind only true expectations, yes, in general, when blue appears an external object, but when to the sense direct perceiver apprehending blue, there is the appearance of blue as blue. When that appearance does not appear as an external blue, therefore for them, the appearance of blue as blue is not mistaken. It's not mistaken. So, the point is you have to get is, you know, why the true expectations say that the fact of appearance of blue as blue is unmistaken, whereas the false expectations says that is mistaken. Yeah, because as long as you get the point, then you know.
Getting? No.
So the eye consciousness apprehending blue, for example, you can say that it is a mistaken consciousness. Why? Because there's an appearance of external blue to this consciousness, isn't it? But however, according to the mind only true expectations, the factor of appearance of blue as blue to this consciousness is not mistaken. You
know? Yeah.
So to the true expectations, the factor of appearance of blue as blue does not appear as external blue. Therefore, the factor of appearance of blue as blue, blue appearing as blue, that factor of appearance is not mistaken, according to the true expectations.
Yeah.
For the mind only false expectations, of course, I mean, there is an appearance of external blue, that is mistaken. But for them, even the appearance of blue as blue is mistaken. Because the appearance of blue as blue appears as external blue.
So
that's the mind only true expectations and false expectations for you, yeah. and Therefore, the definition, you know, the definition of the two of them are in the text. But I said right, I still stand to my what I said in the previous class. I don't really agree with the translation here. Yeah, in the root text, what I would say is the definition of my only true expectations is I'm trying again to put the thing together. It's a proponent of my only who asserts that the appearance as gross form. In the appearance of gross form to the direct perceiver apprehending form in the continuum of ordinary being is not polluted by the latencies of ignorance. And the definition of a mind only false expectation is a proponent of mind only who asserts that the appearance as gross form to the direct perceiver apprehending form in the continuum of ordinary being is polluted by the latencies of ignorance, yeah. So, There are three types of true expectations.
Not vegetarian, huh? Not vegetarian.
Proponents of an equal number of apprehendeds and apprehenders. Actually, object better. Anyway, then half aegis or split aegis is another alternative. Well, Jeffrey Hopkins updated his translation to split aegis. It doesn't matter like, whether it's half or split. Who cares? Right? The meaning is the meaning. Then the number three is what? The non-pluralist. Okay? Pluralist. Oh my God. Each has their own individual assertions. Oh, I'm not surprised. Okay, number one. What are you going to say? Okay. It is said that the proponents of an equal number of apprehendeds and apprehenders. Apprehendeds are objects. Apprehenders are subjects. Okay. Assert that when an eye consciousness apprehending the mottled colors on the wing of a butterfly apprehends the mottle, from the object side, the aspect of each different color, blue, yellow, and so on, is delivered. You're not delivering a baby here, I think. I'm not sure about delivering. Cast. The reason why I think the translator chose the word delivered instead of the word cast is because the word cast has the inherent connotation that is coming from the side of the object, you see. But not necessarily so, you know, if you understand the meaning. So I think cast better maybe. Okay, anyway, you understand the meaning. Cast or delivered. And also from the subject side, the aspect of each different color, blue, yellow, and so on, is produced in this true aspect. Cast, delivered. Okay, so that is the proponents of an equal number of apprehenders and apprehenders. And then, What about the half Aegis? It is said that the half Aegis assert that when such is apprehended, the mottled colours on the wing of a butterfly, okay? From the object's side, the aspect of each different colour, blue, yellow, and so on, is delivered, is cast. However, from the subject's side, the aspect of each different colour, blue, yellow, and so on, is produced in an aspectless manner. It is said that the non-pluralists assert that when such is apprehended from the object's side, the aspect of each different colour, blue, yellow, and so on, is not cast, but rather the aspect of the mere conglomeration is cast. And from the subject's side, the aspect of each different colour, blue, yellow, and so on, is not produced in an aspectless manner, but rather the aspect of the mere conglomeration is produced in an aspectless manner.
だったんだ。だ、からつなったんだ。だ、その前単にばすとかな。かすな。うん。ちょね。ただに、だしゃば、だナンバーとまちゃわなし。うん。しゃばてな、ナンバーとまちゃわなし。あのしゃばとまけしだったんだ。わてんでいけれすだったんだ。ペナだ。ペナ。どれば、だどればじゃないってことはペナ。
ナンバーマンボウシ、ユジマン、ソチシャルメン。テイムシ、ユジマン、ナンバーディ。ナンバーボウシュ、テイムメン。テナシン、テダン、テナシン、ダ、シャバヤン、トマシ、テイムシ。ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ、ダトナティ
Well, as the name suggests, isn't it? Proponents of an equal number of apprehenders and apprehenders. So according to them, basically, the number of consciousnesses generated is equal to the number of aspects there are. In short, yeah. So this is the same with what the proponents of Sutra assert. Yeah. The only difference is whether external objects are asserted or not, yeah. But in the case of how the aspects, in the case of you know, consciousness generated in an expected manner, right? So from the side of the object, you know, the aspect is cast. So from the side of the object, it may be different aspects, yeah. Isn't it? Right, from the Sutra schools, no? Right? So from the side of the object, there are different, blue, yellow, whatever, no? These are cast. The aspects are cast to the eye consciousness, apprehending. And then it's just as equal to the number of aspects that are cast from the side of the object, then there's the same number of consciousnesses apprehending those aspects. Yeah. And of course, but from the Sutra schools, according to the Sutra school, the aspects are cast from the side of the object. Yeah. But this is not so, according to the mind only. Yeah. So the example given is the motto, yeah. Basically an irregular pattern of different designs or colors put together. What is this? What the motto is? Yeah. So you know what you see on the butterfly, and the wings of the butterfly. All these different kind of spots and colors and patterns, isn't it? Right. So just as there are a certain number of colors, you know, on the wings of the butterfly that forms the motto. Yeah. There is an equal number of consciousnesses, minds generated, apprehending those different colors. Yeah. Okay, so according to those who assert that there are equal number of subjects apprehending an equal number of aspects, there are castes, you know. Within these, within this group of proponents, yeah, there are some who assert that, you know, the consciousness apprehending the aspects are generated serially. That means serially. Whilst there are those who assert that the consciousness apprehending aspects are generated simultaneously. Then according to the split Aegis or half Aegis, the explanation may be a bit different from what you see, I mean, or according to the root text here. Yeah. Basically, one explanation is this. Yeah. From the side of the object, an aspect of those various colors are not cast, but rather the aspect of the general, the mortal, is cast. And from the side of the subject, the consciousness is generated in the aspect of apprehending the general mortal, not apprehending the aspects of the various colors that make up the mortal. So in that sense, it's half-half. Yeah. Simply speaking, yeah. You look at, you know, you say you look at this butterfly, I mean, you know, you see the mortal on the wings. Eh? So the aspect of the mere mortal is cast. And then the consciousness apprehending the mere mortal is generated.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, this is one of the rare occasions where we go against our own Bible. But of course, what I've just said is different from what you see in your root text. Yeah. So in another commentary, this is how they explain the assertions of the half ages. Yeah. So it's half half. You know, it's like you know. So there's one aspect and there's one consciousness generated. Whereas for the proponents of equal number of apprehendeds and apprehenders, this is there's a certain number of aspects, isn't it, right? In here we're talking about using the mortal on the wings of the butterfly as an example. Just as there are no different colors, and also therefore there are different aspects, right? So they assert that just as there are a certain number of aspects, you know, cast from the side of the object. Similarly, there's an equal number of subjects or consciousness apprehending those aspects. Yeah. So therefore, they're called proponents of an equal number of subjects and objects, or apprehenders and apprehended. So as for the non-pluralists, from the side of object, there are different aspects, but there's only one consciousness generated, and this one consciousness is generated into those aspects. So from the side of the object in here, the mortal on the wings of the butterfly, there are different colors and so forth, yeah, isn't it? So these different aspects are cast. But what is generated is just one consciousness apprehending the general, the mere mortal, of the just the general, the you know, overall design, you know, and the whole thing. There are more, generally, more people favor the non-pluralist position. If you remember our discussion from the previous module, in the case of an eye consciousness apprehending blue, all the phenomena they are the same in establishment and abiding with blue. All appear to the eye consciousness apprehending. Basically, blue's impermanence, blue being a product, blue, you know, those things about blue appear to the eye consciousness apprehending. Remember that discussion? So to the eye consciousness apprehending blue, it is said that All the phenomena, they are one in establishment and abiding with blue. So the blue's factor of impermanence being a product, and you know, those whole, whatever, and the countless things you can talk about, right? All those appear to the eye consciousness as branding blue. But the eye consciousness is only generated in the aspect of blue, not all those things that come along with blue, yeah. Just blue. Eye consciousness as branding blue is just generated into the aspect of blue.
だとんだいにだとくしんだこかそらたあれこなんでべだですみだわなんでばせるみだわすみとんだいにかなんばとましゃだあなしゃばとまいなばとまなしてだたんにべしゃばけこやしそんでたんにばせでなばちざむちゃわとよばなしてだたんにべしゃばけこくれすだ
중화스의 유지 진바스 시바르바. Okay, so these are the three types of mind only true aspectarians. Yeah. So in short, the proponents of the equal number of objects and subjects, or the apprehenders and apprehenders. Yeah. As the name implies, yeah. I mean, the name gives you the whole idea, basically, right? Just as so, what they assert is that equal the number of consciousnesses generated is equal to the number of aspects that there are. They cast from the side of the object, yeah. Okay? So, the number of consciousnesses generated are equal to the number of aspects there are, isn't it? So these consciousnesses are generated in the aspects that are cast, isn't it? From the side of object, yeah? So as to whether these consciousnesses apprehending the different aspects are generated serially or generated simultaneously, then there are basically different opinions on this, all right? So as for the split aegis or the split or half aegis, yeah. There's one consciousness apprehending, there's one consciousness and there's only one aspect that's cast, yeah.
That dilemma, not so nimevas, dugala, anishi shaba chigla, number tuma, mambushi chalashi. That shaba chigche, that bena, shaba chigche, number mambushi chalashi.
And then the non-pluralists assert that there's just one consciousness, but there are many aspects that are cast towards that consciousness.
Oh, Tuxine, Chazanta, that in there, I need to shove up too much.
Okay.
expectations. For the proponents, the true expectarians, proponent of equal number, there are two types here. Yeah? One asserting that the objects and the consciousnesses arise serially. And the other one will be the consciousnesses and the aspect arise simultaneously. So my question is, for the ones that arise simultaneously, let's say there are 10 aspects casting into the 10 consciousnesses. So my question is, how could 10 consciousnesses arise simultaneously?
How?
Yeah. So can there be a situation where you have 10 consciousnesses arising simultaneously?
Not a problem, isn't it? There are many consciousnesses can arise simultaneously.
The
consciousnesses can arise serially, simultaneously. Tunyamra. Yeah, no problem.
So an eye consciousness apprehending a motto of a butterfly, you have like, you know, like there are 1,000 aspects, you have 1,000 eye consciousnesses simultaneously arising. It's very difficult.
It's more difficult. Yeah.
The other one, for the one that arises serially.
When I look this hole, there's maybe 50 people, whether I see everybody or not. You know, whether I'm seeing this whole group, I'm seeing 10 people or not. You know? So if I see 10 people, the all consciousness arise same time or not. You know? It's the same thing like that. Yeah. So they are saying, I don't see every 10 people, I just collection of 10 people, I don't see 10, you know. Somebody said that. Some they say I see all 10. I same time I have 10 consciousness. I'm looking at the 10 people, yeah. I mean this example can be related with that, yeah, with the 10 people when I look at you. Yeah.
So for the one that arises serially, can I understand it is that one aspect simultaneously casting as simultaneously arising with one consciousness and these two, you know, one set, yeah, then the second set arise serially like that.
What?
That means for the one that arise serially, equal number of aspect and, I mean, apprehended and apprehended. To understand how it arise serially, because I'm trying to understand that my own new school says that the subject and object always occur simultaneously, but now there's assertion of them arising serially, not simultaneously. So the way they arise serially would be simultaneous occurrence of one aspect with one consciousness. Then you know, like if there are 10 aspects to the motto, then aspect one and consciousness one occur simultaneously, then second set, you know, occurring like that serially. Or how does one understand them to arise serially without contradicting the Mayoni school assertion that subject and object must occur simultaneously?
Number two,
Number two, 주어디 가라 그지 주어디
남바 주어는 남바 당보 다데 대진베 남 진진베 남세디 당보께
안티지라
안티지라야 바전이바 남반이바랑 디 진베 남세
디로
디로 야 야 인센셜이야 Hmm? Give me the mic. Huh?
Essentially what I said.
Oh. Yeah, so an awakening of a certain karmic latency produces both the aspect and the consciousness in apprehending it. Then the next aspect and the consciousness apprehending it are produced. And then the third one and the fourth one and however many.
How does the mind-only school explain that in the continuum of how do they explain that in the continuum of the superiors, the sense consciousnesses are unmistaken other than that of Buddhas? Because the understanding is that only Buddha's sense consciousnesses are unmistaken. So on top of that, the superior's sense consciousnesses are also unmistaken. So how do they explain that? Because if they are unmistaken, they would be Buddhas.
So is this a debate about this? Yeah, it's called debate or maybe sometimes the word controversy may basically disagreement as to whether the sense consciousnesses in the continuum of higher body superior being is mistaken or not. Yeah, because there are some who assert that all the sense consciousnesses in the continuum of sentient beings are mistaken. Yeah. Which then includes the superior beings, yeah. So,
Ken Rinpoche, can we please clarify this? Because between the explanation for the explanation of the half Aegis and the non-pluralist, yeah. Because in the previous, previously in the basic program, when we were explained the half Aegist and the non-pluralist, it seems that the two explanations are reversed in the sense that the half Aegist at that time was explained as from the mortal side, all the different colors come up individually, yeah, but there's only one consciousness from coming from the consciousness side, and from the non-pluralist is the collection of the mortal as one object, and then one consciousness apprehending the mortal as one object. But now it seems like the explanation is reversed. So can Ken Rinpoche please clarify?
Tidak kira, kerana malah ini berjadi sisa sendiri.
Well, the previous the explanation in the previous basic program was according to the root text. So if according to the root text, then now what I've just explained is according to the different texts. If you want to know the Lama name, is called Shangya Rupa Dorje, the Mongolian Seven.
And I have another question. Is it all right to ask a question regarding Hinayana tenets? Oh, okay.
Rinpoche, in the text, it always keeps saying aspectless manner. Can you please explain what they mean by that? Aspectless manner in the root text.
Oh, I see.
I don't know what's the word there, what they put here.
Which aspect you showing?
Ignorant aspect.
Oh yeah.
It's with regards to this thing about the aspect of the all the blue, all the aspects is being cast, but only the mind is generated in the aspect of blue, the non-pluralist. I think so. Yeah. And in relation to awareness to which an object appear but not ascertained. Because that awareness to which your objects appear but not ascertained, is it generated in the aspect of the object?
There's the clear appearance of the specifically characterized phenomenon which is object of engagement, right?
Yeah.
What is that?
Because the blue casts its aspect, right? Not just the blue. The impermanence of blue is also cast. But the mind only generated as an aspect of blue.
Yeah.
But it's not generated as an aspect of impermanence of blue.
Yeah.
So because it's an awareness to which objects appear but not ascertained with regards to the impermanence of blue. So technically for that kind of awareness to which objects appear but not ascertained, it is not generated in the aspect of the object, the impermanence of blue.
You're talking about just AA in general, yeah?
Yes, AA in general. So can we say that whether the awareness certain an object or not has got to do with whether it is generated in the aspect of the object? Mm-hmm. Whether the awareness ascertain the objects or not depends on whether it is generated in the aspect of the object.
So if the consciousness is not generated in the aspect of the object, then you cannot realize the object in question, yeah.
So it's correct to say that it isn't anything whether it's ascertained or not, depends on whether it's a generated aspect of the object.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Can I ask another question about great exposition? Great exposition school. It's about this sense power knowing its object. Yeah, I think in lesson 3, it actually says that the sense power actually knows the object. Basically, it cognizes the object. I think Laurie also says that for Vaibhashika, the sense power actually knows the object. Mm-hmm. So that would mean that it is a clear form that knows its object. Doesn't mean it's trying to say that the form is actually clear and knowing.
No, you're basically asking, does the sense power alone cognize the object or both cognize the object together?
Yes. But
so you're asking whether the sense power alone cognize the object or not, right?
That is one part of the question. The other part is actually, you know, it is a clear form and it knows this object. Technically, we have to say that the form is clear and knowing.
So the second part depends on answering the first part, whether the sense power alone can cognize the object or not.
Okay.
Yeah. So, according to the Great Exposition School, both see the object together. The sense consciousness alone cannot perceive its object alone. He has to perceive his object together with its sense power.
Mm.
So the logic behind this assertion by the Great Exposition School is this, yeah. So the assertion is this. The sense consciousness alone cannot perceive the object. The sense consciousness together with the respective sense power, together perceive the object. The reason is this. Because if the sense consciousness alone can perceive the object, then why can't you perceive the form behind the wall? You understand the logic? If the sense consciousness alone can perceive the object, then the sense consciousness should be able to perceive, it's not obstructed, right? Then it should be able to see the form behind the wall. So the fact that we cannot see what the form behind the wall shows that it is the sense consciousness together with the sense power, which is form, obstructed, isn't it? Can be obstructed, isn't it? That sees the object, you see? So that's the reasoning.
Mm.
So it is said that the sense powers are sees clear forms. Or see forms clearly. So think about this now back to the mind only school. Yeah. Let's imagine there's a vase on the table. We all look at the vase, we all see the vase, yeah. Do we all see the same vase? Is there one common vase that is appearing to all of us who are looking at it? Well, according to the mind only schools, you have to look from the anger. Then, is it possible to have a mind that can directly perceive another mind? That can directly perceive another mind? Does Buddha see the specifically characterized hellfire? The actual hellfire. Okay, hellfire. I mean, of course, there's an implication behind the word "rang zhen," but you know.
Oh, today sometimes what did, yeah, some zhen say the kind of shiva na shi. Kare shi nang bai na pao jie shi ge dou na shi. Right. Di shi ru ga na rang ge kang na ai da rang ge shi mi zai jie xia shi.
Right.
Yeah, some guo.
So there are these three questions to think about. But you have to think about it from the position of the mind only. You know, what is the central tenet of the mind only? Everything that you experience, you see, is a result of the awakening of the karmic potencies of in your mind, isn't it? So basically, it's one substance with your mind, isn't it? Yeah. Based on that, and then you think about these three questions. So according to mind only, you know, there's an eye consciousness apprehended in blue, yeah? So there's the subject, the eye consciousness, and the object is apprehended in blue. Both are produced in dependence on the ripening or the awakening of the karmic propensity, the karmic imprint, which is a substantial cause for the production of these two, the object and subject. Yeah. So basically is when we see, from the mind only school's point of view, when we see blue, there's the experiencer of blue, isn't it? Eye consciousness apprehending blue, then there's the object blue, isn't it? Both this, the consciousness and an object, both arise from the awakening of one imprint, isn't it? One karmic imprint, isn't it? So the substantial cause is the one karmic latency, isn't it, or imprint, isn't it? This one part of this imprint produces the eye consciousness apprehending blue. Another part of it produces the object blue, yeah. So this is what is meant in the Mind Only School when you say everything is produced in dependence on the awakening of the predisposition, the karmic latency, you know, karmic imprint, yeah. So for this reason, therefore, in the Mind Only School, both our object and subject are empty of being separate entities or different entities. And that means that object and subject, in this case, blue and consciousness, eye consciousness apprehending blue, these two are produced simultaneously, you know. So, therefore, in the Mind Only School, the emptiness of object and subject as different entities is the selflessness of phenomena. Based on this fundamental tenet, yeah, of the belief or the position of the mind only, then you think about the three questions, yeah. So is there one common vase appearing to all of us when we look at the vase? Number two, I cannot remember already. Oh no, yeah. Can there be a mind that directly perceive another mind? Number three, does the Buddha see hell suffering? Hellfire. Hellfire definitely exists, yeah? Whatever exists is necessarily apprehended or realized by Buddha, isn't it? So in order for Buddha to realize, it has to appear to Buddha, no? Then what's the problem? There seems to be a big problem, right? So what is hellfire? I mean, hellfire is basically, it's an appearance of mind, right? It has to be an appearance of mind ultimately, and which comes from a particular karmic seed of propensity or latency, isn't it? You know, remember the earlier discussion about how the gods do not see what we see, you know, we see a bowl of liquid as water, but the gods don't seem to see it. So going along that line, does Buddha see hellfire or not? According to Mind Only School,
Churu tendu duba me, churu tendu yungay do, mingay do kapu duba. Tadu yada
So yeah, it's not easy really. You think about, you know, what, you know, when we say mind only, you know. Same time, mind only or merely mind. Everything is in the nature of mind, you know. So okay, everything is established in the entity of mind, but this is not saying that everything is mind. It's a different